Now entering Nerdist.com.
Chew It
with a guy named Kevin.
Chew It
and this other guy Steve.
Chew It
from the TV and the movies and now this podcast stream.
Chew It,
they're gonna get chewy.
Chew It,
they might even get me.
Chew It,
but they're gonna get funky on this podcast thing.
That's good. It tastes good. Right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
What do you got something real in there?
I have a Ricola in my mouth.
Oh, what's the matter?
What's the matter?
Yeah, what's the matter?
Hey,
with
what's the matter with you?
Hey, what's the matter with you?
I have an annoying, super low grade congestion problem.
Oh,
like it's a bronchial
me.
Thing.
You know. It's not a good day for that, man. You want to know why?
Why?
Because today's a special day.
It is a special day.
Yeah, it's a special day.
It's the most special day.
Today is the day, for those who don't know, I'm thinking the Chew Crew knows this shit.
Yeah.
And we're going to put this up tomorrow, but today is Tuesday, March 24th,
yeah.
As you record. And the exciting thing is that this morning we launched our crowdfunding campaign on Indiegogo for Super Troopers 2.
Yes, sir.
And we were on Reddit for a long time, and our video launched, all kinds of fun shit's going on.
Yeah.
And it's really like being in a war room, like a political campaign going on over here.
We were all at our computers doing the AMA, or the AUA, as we're saying, because it was Ask Us Anything.
Okay.
And, you know, we kicked off, we pressed the button. It was like the stock exchange, too. We rang
it
the bell.
It was. That was kind of cool.
Kicked it off, had a $2 donation to start everything. And then as of the time we are recording, we are now over $700,000.
Which is awesome.
Which is fantastic.
And thank you to anyone in the Chew Crew out there, anyone who... who contributed.
Yep, absolutely. And there were a lot of Chew Crew people who showed up for the AMA, too. For the AUA.
For the AUA.
On the Reddit. But, yeah, we were, you know, a lot of work has gone into this.
Yeah. It's pretty exciting. I mean, it's like we're all here in the war room now. We'll pull some of the other lizards in. Everyone's got tasks they're doing right now.
Yeah.
You know, we're putting together more video content that we're going to throw up over the course of the month, and Jay's editing that, and... I think Solansky's still on there, and Soder, they're typing away, and, you know, there's a lot of people to respond to and things to do, but, you know, the thing is underway.
Yeah, and, you know, we have a good team here, led by Ivan Asquith.
Yeah, he's our consultant.
Yeah, he...
who knows, he's kind of the guy who knows everything about crowdfunding.
It's amazing. He went to MIT.
Yeah.
You know, we'll probably have him as a guest.
Yeah, we'll get him on there, too.
But really interesting. It's, you know, it's about numbers. It's like when you see a movie about a dude who just... It's like The Matrix.
Yeah.
He breaks... life and the world is numbers.
It's just
him.
Like ones and twos. He lives in a binary code.
Yeah. He's a, he's a human algorithm.
Exactly.
And, yeah, he's done a great job.
But I guess we should explain a little bit to what people what it's all about. If you haven't... if you're not on board yet. Basically, we'll explain crowdfunding, but the campaign started today. And what you do is you go to supertroopers2movie.com, supertroopers2movie.com, and that'll take you right to the Indiegogo page. And on the page, it's just a list of all kinds of like perks, fun prizes, stuff you can win or get or whatever by making a contribution. And it ranges from all kinds of stuff, from a t-shirt to being in the movie to winning one of the patrol cars for the movie.
Yeah.
And so what happens is we launch it today.
We were very hungry because we launched it at launch time.
Pretty good.
Launch time.
I got it. Okay. And so we launched it today, and it goes for 30 days. And basically for 30 days, the campaign will be an ongoing thing. We'll be adding content. We'll be communicating with people, doing all kinds of stuff. And then the ultimate goal is to raise $2 million. And the $2 million will go to, you know, will help us be able to shoot this movie. And if we can get more than $2 million, awesome. It means you get more stuff out of the movie. The movie will be bigger and better. And but the $2 million is like the bare bones we need to get rock and rolling here. The reality is we have to prove to the studio and the industry and the world that there's an appetite for the movie.
Yeah.
And so this crowdfunding thing has become the way to do this and to prove that there are fans out there who want to see this movie.
Yeah.
And that we think there are.
Well, it's twofold. You know, like obviously the money is needed, but yeah, as Kevin is saying, it's... they want to know if there's an appetite, and the more people that in general just sign up for this thing, the wider they'll go with the release.
Yeah.
And we know that. Another thing, you know, Kevin talked about the content. When you go to the site, we actually, we have content, and we have recorded 30 days of brand new content. You're going to see
right.
something new every day.
Super Troopers content.
Yeah.
We put the costumes on and grew the mustaches back, mm-hmm. and that was kind of fun.
It was great.
We shot a fun video a couple weeks ago, and a little pullover scene. If you haven't seen it already, go to the website, supertroopers2movie.com, and watch the video. And it was fun revisiting all those characters, right?
Oh, yeah. We had a good time. It was...
dusting off the cobwebs.
Dusted off the characters and also introduced a couple of new characters.
It's true. I guess we did.
Yeah. We don't want to
give...
we
will. Yeah.
We don't want to give anything away, but there's there'll be some surprises.
Well, when they go tomorrow or when they go... when they listen to this and they go look at it...
Yeah.
You won't be able to meet the new characters yet. You have to keep checking back. The new characters are going to show up.
Every day there's a new piece of content.
Yeah.
You'll see when you see the first piece, it is the beginning of a story.
But do you think it's kind of funny that, like, I guess it's kind of funny is that it was so fun to do those characters again that there were we just wanted to keep making content. That's how much we're itching to make the movie, right?
Yeah.
We did like 30 different pieces of content as the Super Troopers.
Well, you know, look, it's one of the things we've discovered about writing television recently, you know. When you have characters that you start to fall in love with, it's nice to imagine them in different scenarios. Certainly Farva is a character that we just want to heap piles of abuse on. And, you know, and Farva is a guy who anytime we see something obnoxious or weird, we're like, that'd be a great thing for Farva to do. That'd be a great thing for Farva to say.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was sort of how the idea for Super Troopers 2 came about anyway. We were like, God, this is a great story for Super Troopers 2.
Yeah.
And, you know, which is why it's time to get this movie out there. So,
yeah.
Of course, thank you for everybody who's contributed.
Yeah, thank you so much. A True Crew, if you've jumped out on there, thank you very much.
Yeah, and if you haven't, really, this really is a case where, like, we cannot make the movie without you.
Yeah.
You guys contributing will actually make the movie get done.
I wonder if we should talk about that a little bit more, because I was thinking about talking about the history of kind of, like, how Super Troopers 2 came to be.
Yeah.
You know, it was like... You know, the movie was such a success, but it was like a slow burn success. So it was never one of those movies where they were like, oh, you got to make a sequel, because it took a long time for it to happen. And then on top of that, the way it earned its money for the studio was very unique in that, like, most, like, movies that are big successes for studios, they do well in the box office.
Yeah.
And we did okay in the box office. We didn't do poorly in the box office, but it wasn't a box office home run in any way.
No, but yeah. I remember, you know, we all got together. We were in New York City at the time.
Yeah.
And Friday, the movie came out. And the movie made $6 million at the box office its opening weekend.
Yeah.
Which was, for the studio, because it was no stars. And
it was very low budget. They didn't invest a whole lot.
No, they bought it for $3 million at Sundance.
Yeah.
And that was considered a success. They knew, you could always tell what the movie's going to make at the end of its run by what it does.
In the opening weekend.
In the opening weekend, and they called us. We were all out at a bar, and they called us up on Friday night, and they said, guys, it's a success.
Yeah.
And we know they're not blowing smoke up our ass, because we've had other movies where they have called up and said, it's not a success.
Right. But those are worse phone calls to get.
Yeah. So it's all, you know, we have to keep it in perspective. It's all relative. At that point, because nobody knew who we were, and because it was a $1 million movie that they bought for $3 million, they were actually very pleased with the success. And the way that manifested itself for us was that they greenlit the movie Club Dread,
right?
For us,
right? That was kind of our sequel.
That was our sequel, and we opened up against the Passion of the Christ,
yeah.
And things weren't great after that.
But I think the fact is that Super Troopers made Fox a lot of money on DVD.
Yes,
and that's where most of the Chew Crew, I'm sure, discovered it. That's where most people discovered it. And the interesting thing about that, which plays into the funding of this movie, is that market doesn't necessarily exist anymore. It doesn't exist in the way that it did. Like, you remember the days when it was all DVDs and you went out and you had a wall full of DVDs.
Yeah.
And that's how you watch your movies, and you bought them and you collected them and whatever.
Or stole them.
Yeah, or stole them, if you're Lemmy. And that was before the days of VOD and pay-per-view and, you know, getting, you know, streaming and all that shit, right? So the way the Super Troopers made money for the studio was in a market that doesn't really exist anymore. So as we continue to move forward with the studio to try to get this movie made, that was what kept coming up. It's like, oh, you know what? Although you were a wild success for us,
yeah,
we can't calculate how valuable your movie is because its biggest market doesn't exist anymore. And it kept being a problem because we pitched the movie back to them a couple years ago, and then we went back and forth with them, and then we wrote the script, And it was just becoming clear that they needed that proof because the proof didn't exist anymore. And they weren't ready to make the leap. And so that kind of led us to this world of being able to prove to them that there is an audience out there.
Yeah, which, and just, you know, to back up, it's not, the film industry in Los Angeles, I'm sure, is like many other industries around the world, but unfortunately it can be a very fear-based
Absolutely.
Industry because people get fired all the time.
It's a corporate structure, and everyone's afraid of their boss.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
Which actually winds up being detrimental because that's why, you know, a lot of people are like, why doesn't Hollywood put out more good stuff? Why is there so much crap in Hollywood?
Yeah.
And a lot of it is because people are not actually using their imagination or going with their gut.
Mm-hmm.
What they're doing is making a safe decision.
They're going with the safe route.
Yeah. So like if you ever see a movie and there, you know, a lot of times the way a movie gets made is like, who's going to act in this thing? And somebody says, you know what, if I can just get this actor to act in this project, then it's a go picture and it's good.
Yeah.
Which doesn't necessarily make it good and certainly doesn't necessarily mean it's a good piece of casting either.
Yeah.
And which can sometimes lead to the failure of a project. Whatever it is, an executive someplace feels safe. They can cover their own ass by saying, well, hey, it had this person attached and this person attached. I did my job.
Yeah.
So in the case of something like Super Troopers, it actually requires, without being sarcastic,
yeah,
it actually requires a great deal of thought. Because mm-hmm. it means somebody is going to have to step outside their comfort zone.
Yeah, take a risk.
And take a risk.
And, you know, it's hard to get the people to take a risk, you know, especially when you think about the nature of the comedy. You know, like, I've brought it up a couple times, but, like, people are familiar with the movie, right, Super Troopers. Yeah. Like, imagine the scene where, you know, the scene where Farva and Thorny are sitting in the car together,
yeah.
right? And Farva's like, I want to play a game.
Yeah.
And Thorny's like, yeah, all right. Farva's like, let's play that game with the meow thing.
Yeah.
And then Thorny explains to Farva what the meow game is.
Yeah.
And that Farva just looks at him like a fucking idiot. He just looks at him.
Yeah.
And doesn't get it.
Yeah.
That is exactly what a pitch meeting was for Super Troopers.
Yes.
Like, can you imagine sitting in a room with an executive and pitching that scene to them? That is what it is, Farva and Thorny.
Yeah.
You know? And so to try to get that thing made, if you want that kind of comedy, the kind of comedy you want to see, it's a fucking hard thing to do.
So now think about what Kevin just said. What he's saying is the movie industry is Rod Farva. And that is the best way to look at it. But
kinda
it's true because,
yeah.
you know, the way that we got Super Troopers made, originally we had George Clooney attached as an executive producer.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if we've ever told this story.
Maybe. I don't know. Okay.
But
I think we have, but okay.
So, yeah, we probably have. His assistant at the time found... she wanted to become a producer, and she went to Clooney. He said, if you can find something for under $5 million, I'll produce it for you. And she found the script for Super Troopers. And it was a great stroke of luck for us. And so because of that, we were able to go around to all the big studios and meet with all the studio heads and a lot of financiers. And, you know, they would all say, okay, how much do you need? We'd say $5 million. And they said, who's acting in it and who's directing it? We'd say, we are. With,
yeah.
with a smile on our face.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, these people would read the script and across the board, what we got always was, we're not sure we understand it. Like for instance, let's look at this scene with all the meows in it.
Right.
I think that we got that in every single meeting.
Oh, yeah. And people didn't get that.
People did not
get it. When you read it on the page, you're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
You know?
And it becomes this thing where you're like, we promise you it's going to be funny. We promise you it's going to be funny. And they don't give a shit about your promise.
Yeah.
Especially because we hadn't made anything. We made one film and, you know, they didn't know who we were. So yes, it is.
It's hard. I mean, it's hard to get the things made.
Listen, I've told a story very recently about you know, when I gave Puddle Cruiser, the script to Puddle Cruiser, to my parents to see if they would kick in some money, and my mom passed on the project.
That's right.
Because she
That's
didn't
right.
get the jokes. I mean, it's,
That's it, right.
You know, people want to invest in something they believe in. If they look at it and they don't get it,
yeah,
I'm the same way. If I look at something and I don't get it, I'm like, I don't get it.
Right. Even though it could end up being brilliant. You know what I mean?
Sure. Sure.
And so that's kind of the world you're in. So enter this crowdfunding option. And basically what you can do is, I think it was like pre-selling to your audience, right? So like the fans out there who know the comedy and know the humor and know that they're going to get a laugh out of this stuff are now the ones who can have the power because they are the ones who can greenlight a movie now.
Well, there have been... You know, I have to say, I'm really impressed with Ivan, our campaign director.
We should get him in here in a second.
Yeah.
And we'll ask him a few questions, too.
Yeah.
But we'll get other people to come in. But yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've been impressed with him because, and so you people know, you're listening to this on day two of the campaign. We actually are going to have so much awesome stuff coming your way, not just content, but like, we shot a video with the Chive.
Mm-hmm.
There are other places that
Nerdist, Funny or Die,
yeah,
BuzzFeed.
Yes.
We're going to be all over the place. You're going to get tired of us.
Yeah, we're going to be on podcasts. stuff is coming. More stuff is coming. Tons of stuff is coming. And people have actually really been helpful. You know, like Fandango, for instance. This is something big in the campaign.
Yeah.
Fandango, this has never been done before, but Fandango has finally offered what you can do is actually buy a ticket to the movie in the theater in advance.
Yeah.
There's a package. I think it's $35. You get a ticket to the movie in advance in the theater, and that purchase actually goes to making the movie.
Yeah.
So
this is the thing. Like, any movies that have done this before, no one's ever done that.
No.
And that is really what we think the fans want, the opportunity to see the movie. Or, you know, you want to contribute an opportunity. It's a direct contribution to you seeing that movie.
Yeah.
And the Fandango deal that we made directly does that.
Yeah, I mean, that's if somebody said to me, okay, look, we're going to make Braveheart 2.
Right.
And we know you're going to see it in the theater. And
right.
Say, hell yeah, you know I am.
Right, but who is Braveheart in it? Like what?
That's a whole other thing.
Okay.
That's a whole other
okay.
thing. You're Braveheart.
Okay, yeah.
It's Braveheart's cousin.
Yeah. He
comes back to extract revenge.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Against the king. And we're going to put it, we know you're going to see it in the theater. So how about we'll give you a ticket right now and you give us the money for the ticket, which is going to happen anyway, and actually, you're going to make the movie.
Yeah.
You are actually going to make
yeah.
the movie.
Yeah.
It's kind of meta.
It is very meta.
Isn't it? But so that's a new perk.
That's an awesome perk. I mean, that's an awesome thing that we can, because a lot of these movies haven't had that opportunity. You know, it's like a promise to see the movie is a hard thing to get by a studio. They don't want you to fuck up their box office, you know?
Yeah, but...
But luckily we made this deal.
Well, but it's an interesting thing, though, because you think about the fact that, like, they will have many test screenings, and they will have, once the movie's completed, they will actually have free screenings around the country.
Yeah.
And ultimately, it's like, what are they doing? It's 10,000 people
mm-hmm.
extra that are seeing the movie for free.
Yeah.
And so they're losing, let's say, it's $200,000 of box office. Which,
yeah. I
mean, which for a film is not a big deal.
That'd be what they're telling their friends, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, that's essentially... what we're doing here.
Yeah.
But so anyway, so thank you to all the people who are helping us out.
Do you want to, should we pause and go pull some of the guys in and we'll ask some questions here?
Hey peeps, do you want us to bring other people in here? Yeah.
Okay, let's pause for a sec.
$5,000.
I think we're back. Hey, we're back.
Hi everybody.
Hi.
Yeah, I think we hit 750 just now.
It's a good day.
That's awesome. All right, we brought some of the lizards into the war room. Into our recording room.
Hi, world.
Stalhansky, Chandrasekhar.
This is kind of fun. This is probably the first podcast that has been monitoring a crowdfunding campaign live.
I know.
Yeah.
It's exciting. We're talking about it's like a political campaign or like a... what was the thing
a telethon.
You said? Yeah, telethon. What was the thing when you press the button? Oh, the stock market.
Yeah.
It's like watching the stock market.
You ring the bell, yeah. Start the day.
Sloss told me that one of the crowdfunding campaigns did a telethon in the middle of their...
Oh, they did?
What's that thing? Rooster Teeth?
Rooster Teeth.
Oh, right, right, right.
Yeah. They did a telethon
movie. They made a movie
in the middle of their campaign.
Okay.
And it apparently did well. Rooster Teeth did quite well.
Are we supposed to do something like that?
Well, I don't know. I'm gonna contact the Rooster Tooth.
The head tooth?
The head
toothers. Okay. The head rooster.
I'm going to find out, you know, whether he thinks that's worth it.
Okay.
I know Soder always wanted to do a telethon.
He did. He does. I mean, he's like one of those kind of Jerry Lewis... Labor Day weekend telethon as a kid guy.
You mean like he didn't have plans on Labor Day and he stayed home and watched a telethon?
But I used to do that too. Didn't you used to do that?
Like, yeah, I did.
Because TV was different where it was like, usually like the TV would go off the air at like, you know, midnight or whatever and you get that signal. Like, but if you woke up, you know, late night, you could pop the TV on and Jerry Lewis is like on a stool with his bow tie untied, drinking his hand.
Was there any entertainment?
It's like a variety. I mean, like all kinds of people. It was a variety show.
Not only that, but like, I mean, there were celebrities answering the phones. Like, if you called in, you could talk to a celebrity.
Yeah.
Like, Don Rickles would answer, like, what's up, fuckface?
Dean Martin would be having a cocktail and be like, well, hello.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling.
We should do that.
Yeah.
We should get the fucking stoners from the opening scene, the local cops, get them all answering phones.
Sure.
Sure.
I bet they'd love that.
I bet they'd love it.
They'd love it. Hey, guys, help us out with this.
So exciting, though. This is fun.
And also, by the way, there's also a momentous thing here, which is this is, although Soder has now left the building, this the first total Broken Lizard podcast we've ever done.
But Soder's not here.
But Soder's not here.
What you're saying is bullshit.
So don't worry. It's not. We're going to get him on.
At some point we will.
We'll record him.
Were you guys excited today or nervous about this?
I was nervous last night.
Yeah.
Excited today.
Yeah.
Still, I feel a little nervous right now.
Are you nervous? I'm a little nervous, too.
Still.
It's hard to gauge because we've never had a crowdfunding campaign. In fact, so few people have.
Exactly.
So there's no way to be like, we're doing well or we're not doing well. But
there's no benchmark to judge against,
you know,
here.
I mean, the big fear is, was it only 15 stoners who wanted to see the movie really badly?
Right.
And were only those guys who kept coming up to us over and over again in wigs and... different costumes.
Tweeting us. But it has. Yeah.
So far, it turns out that there are more than those 15 stoners want to see a sequel.
I know.
And well, I guess I get nervous, like, after the initial giving, my fear is it just drops off completely.
Right.
There's still 29 days to go.
Well, but the fear is that, like, when you say, okay, $2 million,
yeah,
that people are going to see that you've gotten there, and then they're going to stop donating. Where the fact of the matter is that we've talked about, that's the minimum we can make the movie for.
Right. The point is that is what gets us rolling.
That gets us rolling.
More gets a better movie, but you know, less makes it very difficult to move forward.
The script we have written, certainly should be made for more than $2 million.
Yes,
and you know, we have some stunts. We have our dream script that we would like to make with some action and some bullets
and some actors.
And the truth is, this is the first campaign that you can actually donate money, and then you get a ticket to the movie theater.
Yeah, so, we were talking about that. This Fandango deal is fantastic.
It's not, you know, it's not just, hey, give us your money. It's, you're actually going to get something you probably would have bought anyway.
Exactly. Right.
I actually got some tweets and emails today from people that are grateful about that.
That element was a part of it. Because it's not a bullshit thing. It's like you're actually buying a ticket.
Well,
they're happy that they get tickets.
Well, because there had been a lot of blowback from other crowdfunding campaigns.
Right.
Where people said, hey, I gave $50 to see this movie get made, and I can't get a ticket for the movie. Like, they're at a film festival or something like that. Like, I'm not allowed. I can't get in here, and I am one of the producers.
Right.
Or they still have to then go buy a ticket again to just go see in the movie theater.
Yeah.
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 Were you nervous to do a crowdfunding thing? Like, were you on the fence about doing a crowdfunding in general, or was it always something that you thought you'd do?
I generally was nervous because... I really like to have only positive interactions with fans.
Sure.
And so...
Well, what does that mean? What are you trying to say about it? Like, you think people would turn negative because of the crowdfunding?
Who knows?
There certainly has been backlash in the past, yeah.
The internet is generally full of...
Snark?
Of positivity and negativity. And sometimes when it turns negative, it goes bad quickly, and you hate to be on the receiving end of it. But I don't, you know... At the end of the day, we've been straightforward and honest about this, and you don't have to donate.
Yeah.
You know, and also...
What made you want it? What made you think that it was a good way to go?
I think that the future of raising financing could well be this kind of thing.
I think so, too.
I think that the studios have decided that the only movies they're willing to make have superheroes... Or vampires.
Okay.
And if you don't
I will say this. I love superhero movies.
You can like them all you want, but there are too many of them.
But
99% of all movies are superhero.
Well, but that's not true. But the relevant matter is they're not making other kinds of movies.
That's right.
That's the relevant matter.
That's okay, because then if a thing like Indiegogo creates an outlet and a way to finance movies people also want to see.
Right. And you end up knowing people want to see them because they are directly contributing to getting them made.
And additionally,
it's really the future.
Indiegogo is hoping to transform itself into an equity-based donation. It's not even a donation. You'll be in the future if the law goes through, which is apparently still sitting up in D.C., like it's already gone through. Like if it passes now, you'll be able to give $50 and own some percentage of the movie.
But so you're not allowed to do that now because of the rules of investment.
Be a year, could be two. You may be able to literally invest your money in Super Troopers 3, and then when we get a check of profit, we'll send you one.
Sure, right.
You can't do that yet.
It's the interesting thing, though. I mean, you know, like with the digital age, it started to become that anybody could pick up a camera and make a film, which is great. You know, we used to talk about how when we were starting out doing the sketch comedy shows, you know, if we didn't have something like this, if we had this, it would have been amazing. You know, if you had a YouTube channel where you could put up all your material and get it out there to the entire world, it was great. Now people can do that, and now people can actually, the way that we have to go to a Hollywood executive and pitch an idea for a movie and see if they like it, and they may not like it for a variety of reasons, now you can just put it to the people and say, hey, you know, this is the story of my movie, and I want to make this. Help me out here. And anybody can cobble together.
It's crowdsourcing. It's a crowdsourcing thing.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah.
There are people with money who want to help other people out, but they don't know how they can help.
But there are people who are against this, and there are people who, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's that they feel that they're
getting
ripped off.
Against established people crowdfunding?
Well, I don't know. I think people have different reasons of why they're anti this kind of thing. You know, like the backlash on some of these crowdfunding campaigns, you know, to me, the point is, hey, it's fucking free market. If I want to give my $5 to Zach Braff or Spike Lee or Veronica Mars, that's my fucking thing.
Well, that's what Jay was saying. That's what Jay was saying.
You know?
You don't have to give.
So then, but why do people get so angry?
I don't know. Because, frankly, I think...
What do you think? What do you think?
I think people get mad about too much shit in general.
Okay, but it doesn't excuse the fact that they do. So why? I mean, like, we've already had comments on some of our boards of saying, hey, why do you guys need to do it this way? Right? Like, so why are these people so mad about
That's
it?
That's a deep philosophical question that may not be solved in this room.
Let's try.
Okay.
I like
it. Here it is. I think people are bored. I think a lot of people
So you think the people get mad are like trolling type people. Like, they're like, they have nothing better to do.
You know what I get mad about? Interrupting people.
Okay.
That's what I fucking get mad about.
Okay. Sorry.
I apologize for interrupting you earlier.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. I don't get interrupted by you as much as I do this fellow to
you
my right.
You just interrupted him again to tell him you're sorry for interrupting.
Sorry I interrupted you for interrupting you.
Preposterous.
Sorry I interrupted you.
Well, although my parents, I said this to you the other day, Kevin.
Yep, you did.
My parents taught me it's okay to interrupt people if at the end of it, if you say, excuse me for interrupting, say your piece, and then say, anyway, you were talking about.
You have
this thing.
Never
I don't think
said
that's
that
true.
Once in your life to me. You've never once said,
he said to me recently,
excuse me for interrupting.
Oh, okay.
Please go on with what you were saying before. I mean, in your whole life.
That's but the good version.
The reality
the
is, it's also like saying, with all due respect, and then saying something disrespectful. It's bullshit, like, to interrupt, and then it's okay to interrupt if you
you're
can bring it back.
You're the one who interrupted him.
I'm just saying. I'm not agreeing with his rule.
But your way is rude, because somebody starts talking, and then you just steamroll them, and then just keep talking about something else.
All right. But what was your earlier point, then?
I fucking forgot.
Go. Right, you're talking about why people are mad. Why people get mad.
I think people are bored. I think people are bored, which is why you do have people who are they get mad about what other people are doing in their lives when it actually doesn't affect them. This is a harmless thing that we're doing, that a lot of artists do. They say, hey, we need help making this project. Mm-hmm. If you'd like to contribute, you can.
But I think
there's nothing wrong with that.
The resentment comes from people thinking that, hey, you're a Hollywood guy, you've been in movies, you've been on TV or whatever it is, and why are you having me give you money? Why don't you use your money? I think that's one of the arguments that people make.
Sure.
Right?
I guess the operative word to me is make you give me my money.
Right.
Like, I'm not making anybody give their money.
Right.
If somebody wants to put their movie in and get something in return, like a movie ticket or a T-shirt, that's their choice.
Yeah. I also think that, like, there's a little bit of a misconception of, like, people who work in the industry. Like, there's a lot of people who work in this industry, and a lot of people work hard, and they work check to check and, you know, hand to mouth and whatever it is. Sure. It's not like everyone who works in this industry, you know, gets a gigantic fucking paycheck every week.
Very
you know, like,
few people do.
We're guys who've worked hard for a long time, and, you know, we're not, you know, on some network TV show, and we're not, you don't see us all the time in gigantic movies. We like to make our own shit, and so we're not guys who are swimming in it.
Well,
you know, this is a way that we can make stuff for people who want to see stuff.
And if you want to boil it down to Super Troopers in and of itself, and we've spoken about this before, the truth of the matter is we knew the kind of deal we were getting ourselves into, but we did not make any of the money that Super Troopers made.
Sure. That's true, too.
That is the fact. So it's, you know.
Somebody else did.
Yeah, somebody else did. So, you know, and again, it goes back to what all of you guys have said. You don't have to give.
Sure. But I think we were concerned about it. You were certain. I know you were. Right?
I was concerned. But the truth of the matter is the deal with this movie is if we don't raise the money, it's not going to get made.
That's
so
correct.
Because of that, it's an honest proposition what we're doing.
Yeah.
And the truth of the matter is we would have made this movie years ago if somebody had thrown financing in our lap.
Or if this kind of thing existed.
Or,
which it didn't.
Or right. If we had the millions of dollars to finance it ourselves.
Right.
And by the way, we will put in our own money.
Yeah.
we tried to get the money. We don't have the money.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll make it.
We'll make it. There was something else, though, I liked about it. You know, there is a certain amount of seeing for your supper. I actually, looking at the page we've put together, we have a really fun video that we put out.
Yeah.
And we do have 30 days of content.
We do.
That are coming.
Chandra Checker's been editing it, right?
Which were a blast to make.
Yeah.
Really fun to make.
Yeah. We got a whole bunch of videos coming at you.
Like the Chew Crew can come back every single day to that website, and they're going to see some new fucking thing.
And I'm going
to
say this. It was like when we were shooting it.
The Chew Crew.
Yeah.
The Chew Crew.
I saw that on the internet, and I was like, I wonder what that is. I had no idea. I didn't place it with this whole Chew.
The Chew Crew.
Yeah. The Chew Crew. Man.
Is there anybody in the Chew Crew?
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah, dude.
What do you mean?
We go all over the place.
Chew Crew.
Any chicks?
Hells yeah,
Hell
bro.
Yeah.
There are girls in the Chew Crew?
Hey, Chew Crew, tweet at Chandra Sekar. Let him know you're in the Chew Crew.
Chew at him.
Yeah.
At J. Chandra Sekar.
Lady Chew Crewers, let Chandra Sekar feel your presence.
Go get that guy.
Record your Chew and send it to him.
Yeah, we got Chew Crew all over the country. Chew Crew come up. We had girls come up to us at a live show. They're like, "We're in the Chew Crew." We're like, what?
Yeah,
who
Chew
made
crew,
up this name, the Chew Crew? You guys?
I feel like someone tweeted it at us. No,
no kid.
You made it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Come on. This is the fucking hit factory over here.
Okay. Did somebody crowdfund that for you or what?
What I did. I went out on Indiegogo and asked people to send me money to come up with an idea for the name for the show.
All right, some fun perks. What's your favorite perk that they got listed on that page there? There's some cool shit, like people, you know, get to do fun stuff. What do you guys got?
Well, I think it's the having us be the groomsman at someone's wedding.
That's pretty funny.
Did someone actually buy that?
Someone has inquired about it, and then, I don't know if you're in the room when they talked about it, whoever inquired about it has now started their own Indiegogo. Pay for me to be the best, for us to be the best man at his wedding.
Yeah, he's trying to raise $25,000 through Indiegogo to get the money for this.
Should we donate to that?
No,
well, that's what I don't know if you were there. That's when Kevin had that great line where he said, "That's like a chicken eating a chicken."
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
You don't want to get in that. You know what I mean?
It's like chicken eating chicken. Yeah.
I'm going to give to that though. I think that's
you
fun.
Will.
Are you?
Yeah.
So that's a good prize though. Like for if one of the perks is that we come be the five of us come be the best man or maid of honor at your wedding.
Fun thing for that guy.
Sure.
Hope we get to be the bridesmaids.
I'd love to be.
That's
bride.
Fun too.
Good story.
The thing is, what you can do is you can just go like if you're getting married, or your friends getting married, get like a whole group of friends and say this is the wedding present, and then just donate instead of getting like a bunch of plates or something. Why not?
Sure.
Have us show up.
We're registered at Indiegogo.
Okay.
I mean, what do you want a fucking soup ladle for? When are you going to have us?
We'll crash my sculptures.
Right?
Yeah. We're fun at a wedding.
I know.
We are fun at a wedding.
Lemmy will sing.
We'll dance it up.
Oh, man. I'll sing a song. Kevin, Kevin will raid the vending machine.
No, I'll make a good speech. I'll make a good speech for you.
Will you give
That's a
toast?
Idea.
Yeah, sure. I'll give a toast.
That's actually a great idea.
Mink, favorite perks? What do you
favorite perks?
What do you think? What do you like up there?
I thought the coolest thing that people get excited about and they ask me for all the time is a line in the movie.
That's great.
Yeah, that went quick.
That's sold out.
That went very, very quickly. I think we're going to put some more of those up there, right?
That sold out and people have been bummed about that it just disappeared.
It's insane that you can actually buy a line in this movie.
I know. Yeah. I know.
I
people
love
ask
it.
Ask me that
it's crazy.
Every day.
Quotable.
Yeah, but that's great. That's great, though. It's like now, and you know, it's as much as we can possibly guarantee that you make the final cut, there it is. I mean, we're, you know.
And I bet it'd be good line, too, man. Because, like, you know. It'd be the equivalent
lines.
Of like beer fest, like somebody yelling they're not that drunk. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's that kind of shit. You know,
I gotta get my directing shoes on for that one.
To direct
these total.
What if it's like Laurence Olivier buys it or something? That'd be fucking.
If Laurence Olivier, you mean he comes back from the dead and
exactly.
he purchases
right.
it?
We actually, right. I don't know.
The skeleton
things have happened.
The actor Adam Goldberg, who's an awesome actor,
great, yeah,
contacted the website and asked. It's kind of funny. There's a $10,000 prize to be a producer.
Okay.
And he said, "How if for $4,000, can I actually just be a producer?"
Well, that's not the actor.
No, it is.
That's the creator of the Goldbergs.
Oh, okay.
Wait a second. That changes everything.
That changes everything.
He emailed me as well with that same question.
Okay.
He is a massive Super Troopers fan.
Okay.
Seen it. He said more than 50
so
times.
So if he's created the Goldbergs, he can pony up the extra $6,000 to be a...
Or we should just put his name on the thing.
He wrote something filthy about why he wouldn't do that.
Oh, really? Yeah. What did he write?
I can't even possibly
say it. It's titillating.
I can't say it. So I'll let you read it.
It's titillating. What's your favorite perk, Queen?
Yeah, Queen, what's you?
Oh, mine? I think the cop car thing's pretty funny. I think some
donate,
of the...
If you donate, you get a cop car.
Yeah.
$35,000.
You get the actual cop car from the movie.
Wow.
which is funny.
Are you going to fart in it?
I'll fart in it. Let Stelansky drive around the highway. Right? The last time you did that, we was fucked up, right?
What, it was a blast.
What was that?
We finished work, and we had to get the cars back to the motel.
When we were shooting the first one, right?
Super Troopers, yeah. The first film. And after work, you know, you had to get it back to the hotel room. And I was still in my cop uniform.
We didn't have the budget for Teamsters.
Yeah, we, really had
we were the Teamsters.
We had union guys, but like one guy that's sitting in a truck right on the side of the road. So I had to get it back to – so we drive our own trucks, the cars back. And I was cruising down the highway outside of Poughkeepsie. And I noticed that some cars were kind of slowing down, waiting for me. I'm like, oh, this feels good. I felt the power. And all of a sudden, a couple cars started going past me. I'm like, wait a minute.
I'm a cop.
I started feeling insulted that they're passing me when I'm going 55. And so now they're speeding. So I speed up to get along the side of them to try to, like, get their attention to see if they notice I'm next to them. And they kept going. So I hit the lights to see if they would slow down.
Right.
And
did they?
No. They kept
blowing
by
me. The fuck, man?
I found that to be one of the funniest things about driving those cars home was you'd look in the rearview mirror and you would see a shitload of cars just behind
sitting behind you
at your exact same speed.
Yeah.
And I remember a woman once cut me off and I was like, are you fucking crazy? You cutting off a cop?
Did you flip the lights on her?
No, I wanted to. I wasn't as insane as that guy over there.
But you know what it's like, though? It's like sometimes you get it. Like you're driving down the road and you see the lights in the back and the car pulls up and it's like a security car from like a mall or it's like a totally like opposite color or whatever it is. And they're like, oh, fuck this fucking dude.
Paul
That's
Blart
what they did
too.
To you.
But the thing is, like, they obviously realized I was driving a Vermont car in New York and I had no authority.
Yeah.
But somebody called that in to the cops.
Right.
Because we went back to the motel. The cops were came looking for me.
Yeah. And where were you, man?
I hid underneath the bed.
Did you see all of our shoes as we were talking about you?
Absolutely. And then I held my breath for like 4 minutes.
So the person who gets this car can do that same fucking thing.
It's true.
Although we should not encourage it, but they can if they want to.
What did the cops say to you, Jay?
He said, one of your guys is impersonating a police officer.
And it's a federal offense.
Yeah. He said, where is he? I said, I'm not really sure. He goes, well, you tell him if he comes back that we're going to come arrest him if he does it again.
I heard that. The other one that's good, I think a good perk, is you get to enter a team. You pay a certain amount of money. You get to enter a team. We're going to do a beer fest competition in Chicago, like in September, October. And we'll have like multiple teams, and we'll do like a fucking March Madness thing where we'll have brackets, and then you work your way up to be able to play us.
Which is going to be a drunken mess.
Oh, it's going to be disgusting.
Stelhansky and I, well, I mean, I guess we all did it. Like on the Beer Fest tour, we did that a lot.
Yeah.
And we had some epic ones where, you know, DC. We had a great one. DC was my favorite one because that was, you know, it was these two guys came in. It was a guy who worked at the radio station in the morning and his buddy. At 6 a.m. on the radio, the radio decided to have a contest, and it was beat these guys in a chug. We're like six. Originally, they wanted to do like 3 pints each guy.
So
okay, six pints of beer per team.
Okay, okay.
And we talked them down to two. To two each guy.
Two pints. That's an insane chug.
At 8 a.m., right?
At 6 in the morning.
On the
six
radio,
in the morning, Jesus.
The
and these guys were talking so much shit to us, to Stelhansky and I. And Stelhansky and I fucking buried them.
Right.
Like, we were just seasoned, but like one of the guys vomited on the radio, like didn't even finish his beers. They didn't know how to... They just slammed the two... Tried to slam the beers as quickly as possible, whereas we paced ourselves on the first one and then slammed the second one. Anyway... These guys were like, well, we're coming to that fucking beer fest tonight, and we are going to kick your ass at beer pong.
Okay. Oh, so the one in D.C., they were going to come to that.
Okay. Yeah, well,
I love it when big-time losers challenge you for the second round.
Yeah.
You're like, okay,
when you kick
pal.
Their ass, they're like, next time.
Okay, pal.
Yeah.
Or they walk back with two more beers as if the fortunes are going to change somehow.
Exactly.
But so they came, and these guys were good. They fucking beat everybody in the beer fest and made it to the final table to take us on.
Yeah.
And they were beating us. And they were down. We had it. They got the last cup off the table.
Yeah.
And they had one cup left. And it was that thing where, like, you get a chance to retaliate.
Okay, yeah.
And so if you sink the cup, then you're safe. But if you then sink the next one in a row, you actually beat them.
Right.
So they did it. I went first. I fucking drained the cup. And Stelhansky followed with the second shot and drained it. And we fucking killed them in front of everybody. And these guys were pissed. They were fucking pissed at us. And the place was going bananas.
And there were thousands of people. I mean, it was a gigantic bar.
It was huge. It was huge.
I mean, the fucked up thing is, like, at that point, you guys were at the top of your game, right?
Oh,
you were off Beer Fest. You're on a tour. You're playing every night. Now, you're going to have to work yourself back up to that in order to do the Chicago Beer Fest.
I know.
Like, we're going to have to be in training for that shit.
Because we were playing beer pong at our... at our rap party the other night.
Yeah.
And I was god awful. Yeah. I couldn't fucking.
I was okay, but then I fucking fell off the.
You forget how quickly you get hammered at playing.
Yeah, you do get nice.
25 cities in 20 days.
For the Super Beer Fest. Oh, the Beer Fest tour.
Beer Fest tour.
Yeah.
We barely lost.
Woo. Yeah. Barely. I mean, it was just you were like draining them, you know? But now.
You know what?
You better be good because they're going to pay some dough and work their way up.
So you go on Twitter. One of the first people that bought the Beer Fest competition this morning is the Old Spice guy, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm on a horse. If you've seen the commercial, I'm on a horse.
Right.
Old Spice guy is a good buddy of ours.
Yeah.
You're on a horse?
The Old Spice campaign. I'm on a horse, Isaiah.
Okay.
The Old Spice guy?
I'm on a horse.
That's the campaign. That's the commercial.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm on a horse. That's what he says. That's what the Old Spice guy says.
Yeah, that's the line.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Very good campaign. Isaiah, he bought one of the Beer Fest slots right away, and then he went on to social media on his Twitter and Facebook page, and he started a picture of him starting to drink beer.
So he's trashed on him. He's already trashed on him.
He's already he's practicing. He's training.
That's like we're like 6 months out, man.
I know. He's going to be good. That's the competition we're going to be facing.
Holy shit.
But do you remember, like, we actually, it's funny because you were like, we barely lost. We only lost in San Francisco on the first stop on the tour.
Ooh, that's close.
And after that, we never lost. We literally went undefeated after that.
I can't believe that people wouldn't want to buy that perk.
That's going to be a good one.
That's a great one.
I was going to say we only lost once, too.
Yeah.
Probably the first night and then.
No, yeah.
I remember we were in Cincinnati somewhere. I got fucking hammered.
Cincinnati, we
but
lost.
We won.
We won in Cincinnati.
Yeah, it was like an outdoor. It was like an outdoor
bar. I remember
bar.
That outdoor one. Yeah,
I think we won.
Got fucking blasted.
I like to think we always won. That's what I know.
I think a fun prize is the one where we come to your town and do a stand-up comedy show for you and your friends.
That's pretty good. Because it could be like 100 friends, right?
Well, that's what it is. It's up to 99 friends.
Okay,
but aren't we going to pack it with other people?
Well, you don't have to. If you can bring 100
sort of exclusive,
friends,
right?
It's all you, buddy.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's exclusive. But I think that's pretty funny. Like, first of all, do people really have 99 close friends at their beck and call?
But that's the thing, though. You could go friends of friends, and hey, my buddy's got this thing. Come. It's
sure.
Be fucking
your
awesome.
Work pals.
Yeah, your work pals, your work pals' family.
Mm-hmm. Cousins of friends.
Yeah, exactly.
100 people.
The guy at the mini mart, you know, get them all to come down.
Sure.
Why not?
Well, 100 people is more people than you think.
So we're not going to go to a club and do that?
Yeah, we're going to do it at a club.
And we're not going to fill out the rest of the club?
Well, I mean, a lot of clubs, you know, you're 200 at most, right? So, I mean, maybe we will. I don't know.
We had the conversation. It was like, well, then it's not a private comedy show.
Yeah, you want to be exclusive.
Well, what if this happens, which, you know, I could see this happening too. So one dude buys it, and then he just comes to the show alone.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do a comedy show for one dude.
It's been there before.
That's fine. That's awesome. I think that would be hilarious too.
It would be great. I mean, that would be great. We could make all the jokes tailored directly to him.
Yeah.
Hey, Jim, you ever had that time where, you know.
That's a dude who wants to be abused.
Like, yeah.
Because we would fucking work.
You're literally in the hot seat.
Yeah.
You're in the hot fucking seat right there.
Hey, where are you from? Where are you from?
Yeah. Oh, boring.
Oh, right. You already said that.
What do you do for a living? Right. Boring. Yeah. What, are you here with all your friends?
I already asked that. Sorry.
We were talking about the. When we shot the, you know, the True Crew will go in and watch this video now, or people will have already seen that video that we shot, and how fun it was to go shoot, and it's kind of a fun thing to put the uniform back on again and be the characters again. Were you guys finding that too, or what?
I did. I thought it was fantastic to get that, it's so fun to act with sunglasses and a mustache and that uniform. You know, you just sort of slide right back into that old shirt.
It felt good watching you guys come out of the car and say, what game do you want to play? Mute trombone, how about nervous donkey? it felt like I had come home.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, holy fucking shit. And frankly, you guys nailed it, and it seemed exactly like the opening scene of Super Troopers.
Didn't miss a beat.
Man. Yeah.
Didn't miss a beat.
It reminded me how hard it is to get out of a cop car with belt and hat
and
on.
And a hat on. It's tough. It's really tough.
Do you think real cops catch their gun and walkie-talkies and billy clubs on fucking everything in creation?
They have to.
I think you probably get used to it, though. It's like wearing high heels, you know?
But their cars are also newer.
Being a cop is like wearing high heels.
It's like wearing high heels. It's kind of as awkward, but you get used to it, you know?
Their cars are newer, though, so they're... You're not sinking so low, and you know.
You never know.
Never know.
You never know.
But he was great. getting back to a nice place in time.
Yeah, and sure. And it's like, look, I've lived in my house for 5 years, and I still, you know, bang into the fucking corner of the fireplace once a week.
I still go to, like, the row of lights where there's, like, four light switches and hit the all of them until I can figure out which fucking light switch I'm supposed to turn on.
Oh, yeah. In my kitchen, I've got two light switches that control two lights, and I still don't know which does which.
You lived there for, like, 7 years,
pretty good. I'm getting pretty good, but, like, I don't know it for sure.
Mm-hmm. I still fall into the toilet.
in the middle of the night?
Or the day.
You mean because you leave the seat up?
Yeah, I forget to put the seat down.
And you take your classic midnight shit?
No, he still pees sitting down.
His midnight piss. Sitting down.
I just get so tired.
It's a long walk to the bathroom. Jesus.
Actually,
these old bones, I'm just going to sit down to pee today.
Well, you know what, though? I've been thinking about this because, like, what is so wrong with peeing sitting down?
Nothing.
Like, when you take a poop, like, I like to sit down and read and just chill.
It's comfortable.
Why does it have to be just for a poop? Why can't for a piss? Why can't you say, you know what, I'm taking a piss, I'm going to sit here for a while?
I think because it's a waste of time.
Yeah, well, that's people make the same argument for pooping.
No, it takes longer to poop.
Not for my wife, I'll tell you that.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what that means.
She like to see that.
You mean your wife shits fast or slow?
Super fast.
Your wife shits fast? You think your wife shits faster than she pisses?
I think it's the same exact amount of time.
What about you guys? You guys shit faster than you piss?
As you know, I mean, I take a lot longer shit than I do piss.
Sure.
He's not talking about you. He's talking about your wife.
No, I am. I was actually talking about him.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, and him. I was talking about him.
And I've never...
no, I was talking about these guys.
I have never timed my wife's shits, though I will do that tonight.
I don't think my wife shits, so...
You don't think she does?
I have never seen
it. Trust me, she does.
Oh, trust me, she does. Run my face.
Well, if you find out about it, time it.
But you take a long shit.
Well, I take a good man's shit sitting down, and then when I piss, I stand up.
What's the longest shit you've ever taken, do you think?
4 days.
Are we talking about length of shit or length of time?
Length of time. Length of shit, I mean.
Serious.
I'm going 2 feet if I had to really go.
Where do we go here? Where are we going here? Let me ask you this question. Did you miss wearing those uniforms?
It turns out I missed him because when I put him on, I was very happy.
Okay.
I also like playing this character because you get to wear sunglasses and you can act hungover.
Yeah.
You know,
sure, you can act when you are hungover.
Yeah, so many times I come in hungover and I'm like, and then whatever. You're like, you look like a raccoon. And this way you just throw those glasses on.
What about the reflections, though, the camera and stuff?
Fuck the reflections.
Take it out in post, right?
Fuck it.
Well, who gives a shit?
I remember, you know, when we were promoting the first Super Troopers, the studio made us wear the fucking costumes everywhere, and I hated it. And I hated it. Because it felt like, because nobody knew who you were, so it's like, I just feel like a tool walking around in a fucking costume.
Yeah, I just think it's uncomfortable, though, too.
It's very
uncomfortable. Like, why don't cops wear, like, basketball uniforms?
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Right.
If cops wore basketball uniforms, like the shorts, they'd be comfortable, the shirt, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So why do they have to wear the polyester? The polyester's uncomfortable.
Well, yeah, and even still, I get the desire to wear a uniform, but how about some fucking Sea Island cotton, bitch?
Right.
That shit's comfortable.
If cops wore basketball uniforms... What then would like basketball players wear?
I think
wear
too.
Copy
they wouldn't wear the same thing.
Everybody
like why don't cops wear sneakers? For example, they have to run a lot. They're on their feet.
Yeah, but probably not ideal for fighting.
Bullshit! They got most grip. They got more grip than another.
Somebody
shoe.
Could stomp your foot.
What about a metal toed sneaker?
Basketball shoes.
Metal toed sneaker. What about that? What about that? Metal toed sneaker.
Yeah, that sounds good.
That would work.
That sounds good.
Or metal heel too.
A high heels?
True. Or high heels.
Yeah. Just a metal basketball shoe.
a metal basketball shoe in a basketball outfit. What's the...
And by the way, though... I
with
would
a gun.
On the flip side...
I like it.
On the flip side, what if you were playing against, like,
the
New
fire
York,
department?
The New York cops.
Right.
And it was
right.
like one of the basketball teams actually came out, like, in fucking cop uniforms.
Right.
With sunglasses. You couldn't see where they were going to pass.
Cop hats, sunglasses, and basketball uniforms.
No, I think, and still cop uniforms.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
With guns and shit.
Okay. Sneakers?
But what kind of shoes? Metal shoes?
Cop shoes.
Okay.
Cop shoes.
They ruin the floor.
Get their asses kicked.
How they would. You know? They would.
Could because they keep their billy clubs and use them?
Whatever. They're,
guns?
They're the
guns?
Cops. They're the New York cops.
It's no crossover dribble, man.
You know what they'd be called? They'd be called the New York Fuzz, like the Miami Heat. We're playing the Fuzz this week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know
the current New York basketball team is about that good.
The current New York basketball team is horrible.
Oh.
I agree with that. I'm not making an argument here.
They might as well play with cop.
They might as well.
Led by Chicago's Philip Jackson, I might just say. You're dissing Coach Jackson.
Philip Jackson. He started in Nick. He won two championships.
Sure, he's a Nick. I'm just saying he's back. hey, Kev, I got a pet peeve. You know,
yeah.
But how come you won't ask me any questions? You keep asking our guests.
Well, we have guests here. You and I talked alone for 20 minutes.
I have an opinion.
You're talking more than anybody else, so shut the fuck up.
Yeah, you want to know people's shits, how long shit. They are. And
hold on. Wait, you have to allow us room for our dynamic to breathe.
All right. We have to bicker a little bit.
The Chew Crew dig this.
Yeah, the Chew Crew likes the bicker.
More bickering, please.
What about, okay, I asked about the uniforms. Did you miss the mustache? This is a good question for you too, Lemmy.
I don't. You know, look, the mustache is a complicated thing because when I was total unknown and I had the mustache, I would go to delis and mini marts and I would get hit on by sort of middle aged women, and I dug it.
Men, I think it's like men.
No, and I dug it. I dug it, but it was a strange sort of dynamic. There's some women who are just they cannot resist.
Oh yeah,
my mustache.
Really,
the mustache. I think it's my mustache, but. Now, you shoot that thing in the summer. That thing's that's like a little sweaty caterpillar on your lip there.
How long will it take you to knock that down?
Well, because of the constant talk about the mustache in the first movie, I think I really got to beef up that sucker. And
and how do you do that? You grow it harder, or you put some shit on it, like some?
You probably start a little earlier.
Like Rogaine or something.
Yeah, I mean that in Super Troopers, the early scenes were about almost 4 weeks, and this time the early scenes will be about 8-10 weeks.
Are you starting now?
We'll see if we reach our goal.
It's up to you, people.
Will you go like full beard
first,
and then take it down to mustache?
Well,
or?
You know, look, it's
because Lemmy didn't do that.
It's complicated being an Indian guy and growing a full beard because then you end up on sorts of travel
lists.
Can't
fly and all
kinds
of shit.
Hard for an Indian guy to even get depressed nowadays. You can't grow a beard, right?
So, okay.
So I may just go.
That's a bit, Chandrasekhar. This is a bit right here.
Bit?
Here this is a bit. You should write this down. Hard for an Indian guy to grow beard these days. That's a bit, I think, don't you?
It is a bit. I wouldn't be surprised if Aziz has done that shit, though.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Aziz doesn't go racial.
He doesn't?
No.
But I remember like...
I go racial.
I go racial.
You a racialist.
I'm race.
But I remember, like, we had... Mukasey. He was the original... was it Robert Mukasey? The Attorney General? And he was also, originally, he was the judge who was presiding over the first World Trade Center.
This guy lived in your building or whatever?
Lived in my building.
Okay.
And so once he became, you know, because.
I think he was a U.S. attorney.
That's exactly right, because he worked with Street.
You're not thinking of the game Parcheesi?
Let's see here. Or is it the game of life?
Okay, but this guy lived in your building, and he was a judge during the bombing
in New
York
City. The World Trade Center bombing down in the basement of the World Trade Center. And he was the judge. And so for the entire time he lived in my building, the FBI then had the entire building staked out.
Right, I remember that.
And so they'd be at all the possible entrances to the building, which, you know, spanned the entire block.
Right.
And they'd be parked out in front, and, you know, they'd be in the back stairwell, all that stuff. And I remember this one time, this was right after college, and one time, like, shit, and they watched everyone who came in and out of that building.
Right.
And I lived there. There were times where they stopped me. Chandrasekhar fucking waltzed right into that fucking place.
With beard?
With beard.
No beard.
And they didn't,
with beard?
They didn't fucking stop him. And I was like, now hold on. Now, people, can we talk? Hold on a second.
Hold on a second here.
Who exactly are you looking for?
Right.
Because I just walked in here with a fucking engine.
With an Arab guy.
Yeah.
With a fucking beard.
With a fucking big old beard.
Right. Which I didn't have.
Okay.
Yeah, but for the sake of argument.
With a mustache.
All right.
Here's the weird thing I've thought about you, Stalhansky, is that... Before we shot this video that the Chew Crew is going to go watch on SuperTroopers2Movie.com, you had a mustache, and then you shaved it off, right? Didn't you have a mustache?
For a pilot?
Oh, I guess you did. For a pilot, you shaved it off.
And I actually had no mustache, but I had a beard without the mustache.
Oh, that's right.
I had the Amish Abe Lincoln look.
Okay.
Which was even stranger.
Okay.
I got a lot
it's
of weird
the chin
look.
Strap look.
Yeah, chin strap thingy. We went up to San Francisco to Sketchfest, and I had to have that look. Because we were shooting our pilot to go up to San Francisco, and I got a lot of weird looks.
Right. Now, do you consider having a mustache for the movie, or do you think it's a character choice that you would not have?
Well, when we first were putting something together, I grew a mustache for it, and we shot a little something, almost like a camera test, internal camera test.
Yeah.
I didn't like how it looked.
I did not like how it looked. Why not?
I didn't think Rabbit, I felt out of character.
Rabbit should be clean cut?
I think so. I mean, you know, he's kind of like the clean-cut, earnest, young cop, right?
Yeah.
And part of the jokes was he couldn't grow a mustache.
Right.
I wanted to have one.
Okay.
And so I was kind of upset. Like, I wanted to have one.
Maybe that is, I mean, you know, I don't want to give anything away for the new movie, But maybe that is a plot thing, that you decide to grow a mustache and we don't like the way you look.
Yeah, well, because I will say this.
That is disgusting, Rabbit.
I don't know if I was feeling this way about Rabbit or about Stolhansky, but I wasn't, respectfully, I wasn't fond of your mustache.
Oh, I kind of liked it.
I don't know. It was a little thin for my taste.
Okay.
A little thin.
But he has the ability to grow thick, don't you think?
I feel like he does.
I could grow it out.
Right.
It felt a little bit, no offense, Indiana farmer-ish.
Okay.
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 No offense to the Indiana farmers.
Indiana farmers
in the
there,
crew.
I love
yeah.
Indiana farmers.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. That's just not right for Rabbit, is what you're saying.
Right. It's just for some reason that was what popped in my mind. It didn't feel Rabbit-esque.
Okay. Okay.
But maybe it turns out that it's a fake mustache. You guys accidentally blows off when I sneeze or something.
Right. Right.
And,
right. And it's like, Farva. Point. I mean, not Farva. We're Rabbit. Just be yourself, man.
Right.
Just be yourself.
I just want to be you guys so badly.
Well, that's a pretty good gag.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that was, do you remember, we had that in...
that's a really good gag. It's a fake mustache.
Oh, we had a gag where it gets punched
somebody's
off.
Somebody's mustache gets punched off.
In the right. Super Trooper. Originally, we went, in Super Troopers 1, in the original
right.
script.
Right. We didn't hit that scene. Scene. Right.
We went to the truck stop.
Right.
To investigate possible truckers, and we had fake, or Foster had a fake mustache.
Right.
And he got into a fight, and it got punched.
Clean up.
Yeah, and somebody was like... He punched the mustache off his face. I don't know why
I remember
we cut that.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Now, you've grown a mustache twice recently.
Yeah.
For various videos that we've done.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, I'm not going to name names, but you're the only one who really did grow their mustache.
Yeah.
Wait, why
multiple times.
You are naming names.
No, I'm not.
You just said he's the only one.
I know. I didn't say the names of people who weren't.
People could probably figure it out by now.
Yeah, but I didn't say the name.
That's what only is.
Well, by the way, Soder grew a real mustache.
Oh, that's true.
And then decided he wasn't going to have a
without
mustache.
Naming names.
Well, he doesn't think that his character should have a mustache either, right? Isn't that part of it?
That's what I heard.
Yeah. But you grew it twice.
Which is different than the way I did it for the first movie is I grew full beard, and then right before we shot, I shaved the beard off and kept my mustache because I didn't... I was scared of the way I was going to look with just mustache.
What does he mean? Like Freddie Mercury?
Well, it's like, you know, yeah, I mean, look, I'm a Manhattan kid. You
right.
know, I was like, oh, what's this going to say? Now I'm fucking into it. Like now I don't grow a beard. I just grow a mustache and I fucking dig it.
Okay.
I've become a mustache guy.
Why don't you? Oh, because you accidentally shave it off, right?
Isn't
that what happens?
Well, I thought we were done and so I shaved it and then I was like, oh, we're actually going to be shooting some more stuff. I'm growing it back now.
Oh, you are?
This is day number two.
Oh, Jesus. Thick and furry, isn't it?
But
who can grow a mustache faster? You, Chandra Secker, or Lemmy?
Yeah, me.
Fast. Well, I mean,
come on. You know I can grow a mustache faster than you.
Sounds like a bet.
Come on.
Yeah, I know it does.
Let's be honest.
Okay.
I think you can.
But I don't know how fast. I know that at exactly 3 week mark, my mustache is Super Troopers ready. Like that's a good 3 weeks is a good mustache for me. 4 or 5 weeks, you're looking at a motherfucker of a mustache.
Yeah.
And this time around, I've got a plan. I'm gonna fucking wear a surgical mask for like a month and a half.
Okay.
And I'm gonna get
a month and a half.
I'm
so you'll be like one of those Chinese guys walking around an airport.
That's gonna be me. Okay.
If you're gonna do that, you should put on the white gloves too.
No, because they're not. No, I'm not.
You said it here.
I'm not afraid.
But the Chinese guys put on the white gloves, so then you'll blend in more.
Yeah, but that's not why I'm doing it. I'm not
right,
doing it.
Oh, avian flu, right? That's why.
I'm not
avian cover.
Bird flu.
Deep
okay.
cover.
Okay.
What I'm doing is I'm putting a surgical mask on, and then I'm going to take a plant mister.
Okay.
And I'm going to moisten my mustache.
Okay.
And cover, so I'm going to create like a little
greenhouse?
A greenhouse in there and cultivate a...
It's going to get moldy, bro.
Well, it's funny because I remember when I was a child, I read a...
It reminds me of a story.
You have a story about a moldy mustache?
I do.
Okay.
I read a Penthouse forum.
Okay.
Now, bear with me. I'm going to get a little...
I feel like a lot of your childhood stories start that
Let's
way.
Start
but
that.
Go.
Okay. There's going to be a little Randy story here.
Okay.
And one of the stories was about a woman whose boyfriend liked a hairy tushy.
Tushy or bushy?
Tushy.
Okay.
Not pushy.
Tushy.
Okay.
He liked a hairy ass crack.
Okay.
And
is this for the holy. Chew crew?
Yeah, the Chew crew has heard worse. They can handle it.
This is going out to the Chew crew.
Yeah, this is for the Chew crew.
Gross.
Chew crew, this one's for you.
Okay.
And so this woman then wore leather pants, and she used the plant mister. And
okay.
She said in a month she cultivated such a hairy crack that her boyfriend loved it. And that's always stuck with me.
Okay.
So that's what I'm doing.
But do you think that actually works?
That's gross.
We're going to find out.
Okay. I don't think it will work.
Is that gross?
That is gross. What's up? Our campaign manager just walked in.
Ivan Asquith.
He's standing over us.
He's going to Asquith a question.
Sorry, take a quick break. Okay, we're back in.
But a little update, which we found out, which is pretty fucking amazing, is that the squad car, the Super Troopers police car, has just sold, and also the Be a Director package has just sold.
So now this stooge who just bought this thing is going to direct the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that's what it takes these days, Chandra Zegar.
I didn't check the website. Is that something that we auctioned it off?
I think it was $5. And for $5, you get to be the director of the movie.
Yeah. We said if Chandra Zegar can do it, anyone can.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so we
just
went to the
give it away.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's kind of exciting. And our campaign manager, Ivan, who I guess we probably won't be able to get on the microphone because he's fucking rocking it right now.
Yeah. You know what we're going to do? We should give him a dedicated episode.
We'll give him a dedicated one. Yeah. And he also said that he likes to look at himself as the man behind the curtain, so he doesn't want to. He doesn't want to get his voice on here.
Oh, that's what they all say.
Yeah, but you know what he said to me? You know what he said to me?
Yeah.
Because we were talking about the Fandango thing yesterday and how it is the first time this prize has ever been offered and, you know, how great that is. And he said, yeah, my only sadness is nobody will ever know that I'm the person who came up with that idea.
Aww.
And I said, Ivan, we're going to get that information out there. And he said, well, you know, I don't know how.
It'll be obituary. It'll be in his New York Times obituary.
Yeah, I did Fandango.
I did the Fandango deal. But he just told us that we're getting close to $1 million.
Which is amazing.
Which is fucking great on day
That's
one.
Exciting.
Awesome.
It means that people do want to see that movie out there.
Yeah. Well, if that's the case, it'll be 8 hours, which I know for Indiegogo, their record for quickest to $1 million was Con Men recently, which 12 hours to $1 million.
Okay.
And if we do
that's great.
We have not hit $1 million.
We haven't hit it yet, though, dude. The internet could crash right now.
Do you know what I thought was hilarious? To the Chew Crew, I'll just tell the story. For our Reddit, you know, when we were signing off the AMA, we shot a video.
Right.
And it was just to say, hey, thanks a lot for coming out. You really helped us. And it's amazing. And we noticed that we were getting close to $666,000.
Right. The number of the beast.
The number of the beast. And we thought it would be funny to do a video featuring the number of the beast.
Right.
And what happened was, we were waiting 45 minutes for it to get there. And it was like $665,000. And then somebody bought a $3,500 prize, and it jumped over to like $669,000, and we got mad.
We got it mad.
We're like, motherfucker.
Why are they giving so much money?
Yeah.
Give less money.
But luckily, one of the people on the team had actually found a screenshot of the $666,000.
Saved us, man.
Right before it happened.
I even asked with the people.
Yeah. They're good.
They're very good.
They are
very
good.
Very, very good. But no, we shouldn't glaze over the fact that, you know, we should thank everybody for all their...
Can't thank people.
All their contributions. This is fucking great.
Everybody, our team.
It's really kind of impressive and awe-inspiring that we have fans out there.
I'd love to thank the guys at the Chive, all the guys at the Chive for allowing us to come down to Austin.
We had John Resig on last week, and he was great.
He's funny.
Very funny.
You know,
he was helping us out a lot in this campaign.
I found Resig's, I found that episode to be so fascinating. The way that they started the Chive is it's so ballsy.
But don't make them go listen. He's got to go
listen.
Okay.
Listen
go
to
back
the podcast.
And listen to it.
Yeah.
You'll hear it. It's good. It's very good.
Listen to the podcast. It's great.
I think we can wrap up here.
Okay.
Thank Matt, Carlin, and Becca.
Yeah. Matt and Becca and the whole team. The whole team has been helping out the Ask With Company and us. You know, it's been great.
Yeah.
It's fucking great.
It's been great. And frankly, we're just getting started.
What do you, if all goes according to plan, when do we shoot? Well, give people like an idea of like where we go now.
In
if we hit our goal,
case scenario, I would say we would be shooting in the very best case scenario is probably the beginning of June.
Okay.
June and July.
So we try to get it done this summer.
And you know, it could be July, August, could be August, September.
Yeah. Depends on casting.
Depends.
Because that'll be the next step, right? We'll raise some money. We'll hire a casting director. We'll start putting together a good cast based on the money we have.
That's right.
And then go get those people.
Mm-hmm.
And then
whoever the director is will make all his decisions or her decisions.
Whoever made that donation.
Yeah, I heard we found a director. Today.
Good luck.
I'm excited.
Yeah. We're not easy to work with, director. Whoever
difficult.
Brought that package.
And
we're
only
not
getting
easy
worse
with
by every day. A lot of people ask this, where do you think we'll shoot this movie?
Well, originally we were going to shoot in Massachusetts, but I hear their rebate is a little wobbly.
Oh, it's disappearing.
Yeah. So I think the choices now are Minnesota.
I like Minnesota.
Or
did you know that the president of the Minnesota Film Commission is sitting in this room with us?
You are currently in the presence of the president of the Minnesota Film Board.
Yeah. His name is Eric Stolhansky.
I know that. Yep.
I would like to shoot Minnesota.
I thought you were on the Indiana Film Board.
No, he doesn't like Indiana.
And then we had that rude little mustache. He looked like an Indiana farmer. Yeah, but no offense.
But I think we should know, what the fuck do you get if we shoot in Minnesota? Some sort of kickback? You get some sort of kickback?
You get a kickback?
I do not.
You get a kickback?
I don't get
kickback?
Are you
the board is a volunteer board.
Like behind the scenes, they're going to be like, oh, Eric, we are so gosh darn proud of you.
We are going to give you a lifetime supply of walleye.
And a casserole.
You like hot dish casserole? Hot dish casserole.
There will be a lady devoted to blowing your stump.
Well, weird.
Shit. Weird is weird.
Holy shit.
Weird. And milking your tits. I don't know. I don't know what that means.
I'm super psyched now. To
Eric.
My wife was going to listen to this.
Eric, we here at the Minnesota Film Board wanted to present you with your very own tit milker. Here you are. Now you have a lifetime of not squeezing the milk out of your own tits anymore, eh?
Honey, I didn't ask for it.
Your lady, your lady, your lady, your lady.
Like I asked for it. It was given to me as a gift. What, am I not supposed to take this gift? You wanted us to shoot in Minnesota, too. What am I supposed to do, not shoot in Minnesota?
You're the one who said I should be on the film board in the first place. Eric, shut up and eat your fucking walleye.
So I can
get my tits milked?
Oh, fine. I do have to admit, the milk does taste delicious with this walleye.
The other choice is New York. New York State.
Hey, that's where we shot the first one. Upstate, right?
Upstate New York.
Colgate University area.
Oh, man.
That'd be fun.
That'd be fun.
That'd be great. I better start growing my mustache. It takes me 8 weeks.
Kev, how long does it actually take you to grow a mustache?
You know, I'm trying to remember. Like, the last time I even grew a mustache was for Dukes of Hazzard.
Actually, wait. Let's not call it a mustache, because that's not really what it is.
It was more like
that thing.
Yeah, it was stuff.
That's more like a
how long
thing.
Did it take you to grow that thing that you call a mustache?
All that stuff that I had?
Yeah. All the dirt on your growth.
I do think it takes a good 8 weeks.
Did they augment it at all in Dukes of Hazzard?
Dukes, they didn't, because it was supposed to look gross and scruffy. Mm-hmm. Super Troopers, we penciled a little bit in. Yeah. But this time...
It's for
this
real.
This time you're serious?
I'm all grown up now, man.
Okay.
I'm a big boy now.
Finally.
Finally, I've made it. All right. But I think we've gone long enough. We got shit we got to do, man. We got more campaign stuff to do. Chandra Fickers editing. Stolhansky's fucking responding to people on the internet. Right? I got to go do some shit.
I got to write some copy for the
bitch. I got to go home, take a nap. Thanks for joining us, boys.
Great day.
Sure. Good
fun day.
Thanks for having us on.
Good fun.
Right? We'll put this up tomorrow. And Chew Crew, get on there. Help us out.
Get chewing it. Start chewing.
If you can, go help us out.
I can see Ivan Askew's feet coming in the door.
He's coming to the door.
Good stuff.
Should we get going?
Okay.
All right. Chew Crew. We love you.
I think we're about to hit a million.
Thank you for all your support.
Keep chewing it.
You guys
keep
are awesome.
Stolhansky, I want to hear you chew, too. Get up in there.
Hey, Chew Crew.
Hey, sorry about that stump-blowing comment.
We'll leave it on that.
Awkward.
All right, talk to you next week, Chew Crew. We'll give you an update then.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.